This is the Kestrel Country Podcast, where we discuss the people, places, and events all around Kestrel Country. Hello and welcome to another Kestrel Country Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Church, joined here once again by my lovely wife and co-host, Catherine.
Hello, hello.
And we are coming to you from a rainy fall day here in Moscow, almost November.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
It is 2 months till Christmas, 1 month till Thanksgiving.
Crazy.
Exactly.
Yeah. We're here almost Halloween this week. It was funny. I was just this morning looking at the memories on Facebook, and there was actually quite a bit of snow a year ago today. Kind of fun. So anyway,
kind of fun not to have it, honestly, right now.
No, it's true. But I feel like we almost always have snow by Halloween, which we just did. We had our first snow a couple weeks ago, actually.
We did?
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, we did.
In Moscow. Yep. Didn't really stick.
No.
Anyway, lots of fun stuff going on this week. Check out the downtown trick-or-treating and trunk-or-treating here in Moscow. It's been a nice fall full of football and all kinds of fun stuff. But this week, we had Andrew Krapischetz from redballoon.work, not .com, as he will tell you, because
stands for
commie.
Oh, you gave it away.
So, but pretty interesting to hear what Andrew's up to. He's been a fixture in the community for a while and done a lot to grow the business community here. And pretty fun to hear about not only Red Balloon, but his new housing development and some of the future of the area and work and the economy here. So
just benefits of moving to Moscow.
Yeah, that's right. MoveToMoscow.com. Check us out. Get ready to rumble.
I actually should give Annika full credit. Our intern was the one. She was like, you need to get Andrew on here and talk about this. I was like, okay.
Yeah, we were really reluctant, but she was.
Honestly, I'm reluctant right now. You're not alone.
Well, Andrew Krapischetz, thanks for coming on.
Oh, are we recording? Yeah, this is it.
It is.
Yeah.
It's ready.
Game time, baby.
So how many times have you had to clarify your last name on your recent interviews?
You've been Kennedy on the Fox show just referred to his IP freely.
Oh, no.
Is that a real thing? That's a true story?
It is a true story. IP Freely is an inappropriate character on The Simpsons that uses bad words through their last name kind of thing. So she just referred to me as IP Freely, is now a guest on our show. And she's like, Andrew Krapischetz. Didn't even want to say it out loud. So I think people are actually enjoying it. I was on a Missouri radio show yesterday. And after I got off, they thought the U was the funniest part. Crap you.
Yeah.
They thought that was, but this is family friendly. So I'll stay away from going into more detail.
There you go. Well, so how are things going? You've been on a bunch of radio shows. You're doing Red Balloon now.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us, let's start with Red Balloon and then we can kind of go back and talk about some more.
We'll back into other things. Exactly. So Red Balloon was started as a hobby job less than 3 months ago. I was, after I left my other employer, I was going to focus on real estate. I have a big housing development going. I've got some commercial properties I'm working on. I work with the best real estate agent in town.
It's handy.
We should hire that guy.
You should hire that guy. You are that guy. So I was just going to focus on real estate. And then a couple of people said, hey, would you start a local job board so that people would know where they could get great employees? And so I thought, great, I'll start something. I called it Red Balloon because if you've ever been in a hot air balloon, it's a lot bit fun and a little bit terrifying. And just kind of like looking for a new job.
Yep.
A lot bit fun, super terrifying. And so, and people are moving to red states, right? And so hot air balloons are also, you know, you think
that together.
Yeah, you see that, right?
Yep, yep.
And I don't know, there's also, there's a movie called The Great Escape where people are getting out of East Germany with a hot air balloon they make themselves. I was also thinking about that, which reminds me of New York and Seattle and Portland. So all of these things tied together to redballoon.work and .work instead of .com because .com sounds like communists. And we are not communists. We are people who work. So there it is.
So
redballoon.work.
To go back a little bit, you said somebody or some people or somebody came to you about a local job board.
Yeah.
What was that? Was their desire to find, they needed people?
Yes.
And couldn't find people?
They they couldn't find people, and they couldn't find the kind of people that they wanted to hire, right? And unfortunately in America today, if you just hire someone off the street, there's a good chance they're going to be a total whiner. Especially if they're young and a Gen X or Gen Z or whatever the gens are, right? Those people are probably going to be a whiner that are going to be in your HR department all the time talking about all the things that they really wish that they could have and don't, right? And so this is a local employer who said, look, I want to hire people within our community who are going to be hard workers and are going to focus on the work that needs to be done and not on all of their snowflake-based complaints. So that was actually the genesis of this. So
is that where you, are you seeing that? I mean, obviously we're seeing that all over the country now, right? About job postings, not enough people. Is that what you see as one of the biggest needs in Moscow? So we were going to talk some about moving to Moscow.
Yeah.
It's funny because when I moved here 18 years ago, I feel like, and even say 10 years ago, one of the biggest problems with moving to Moscow was there's not enough work.
Yeah.
Like one of your biggest hurdles is going to be finding a job.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You think that switched then?
So yes and no. And I'll give an example from not in Moscow, but I think it's very applicable to the Moscow area. So we're in one of the tightest labor markets ever in the U.S. right now, right? The war for labor is over and labor has won right now, because part of it is you've had a systematic government overreach, which has caused people to lose their desire to work, or they've been told they're not allowed to work because they don't have the right vaccination status, right? Yep. And so you have this combination of taking away the desire and the ability to work for a lot of people. At the same time, we have 11 million job openings in America today. Right. And so you have this very weird, and supply and demand should work out really well unless they are tampered with by government. Right. So we now have 11 million openings. We have more than 9 million people not looking for jobs, really. So you've got this spot where employers are starting to pay enormous amounts. Right. When the Coeur d'Alene McDonald's was closed on a Saturday because they couldn't find people to work there. Right. Well, that should be a shot over the bow to what's going on right now. That juxtaposed with that is an employer in Tacoma, Washington, who decided through Red Balloon that he would put no vax required on his job postings. And he said he got a flood of applicants who were overqualified, willing to take massive pay cuts in exchange for freedom. And some of them were even fully vaccinated for COVID, but they thought it was just wildly inappropriate that their employer would determine what they should put into their body, right? So you have this kind of mix of those two things going together. And I think in Moscow, we're seeing the same thing. There are employers, if they're willing to find someone who wants to just work hard, if you're willing to hire someone who is 18 or 20 years old and work hard and train them, you're going to find a dearth of talent that you can use. If you are going to regulate what their medical decisions are before you hire them, you're going to struggle to find people.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and particularly you mentioned the balloons coming over from Seattle and landing here in Idaho, right?
Army of red balloons.
It's like if that there are people moving here, moving their businesses here,
yep,
and wanting to be in a state like Idaho. And I imagine that that's going to be, you know, that's going to create even further challenges to finding enough people who are willing to work. It's funny that, I don't know, it seems interesting that on one hand, there's this major shortage of work, surplus of work, right?
Yeah.
Shortage of workers. And yet at the same time that they're not, you know, it's not the entitled workers. You'd almost think that, hey, you know, you can afford to be entitled
right.
if there's so much work to go around.
Right.
That's interesting. So you started that as a hobby.
Started as a hobby, and I was just going to be a local, and I created some videos so the local people would know about it. I went ahead and created a video called The Crapshoot, for obvious reasons, and I shared it on LinkedIn, and because of my previous job, I have many thousands of people who follow me on LinkedIn, and I started getting messages from people all over the country saying, hey, when's that going to come to Minneapolis or Florida or Atlanta? Guy from probably not allowed to say that, but now it's out. In Minneapolis,
our millions of listeners,
for our millions of listeners,
we're just going to beep it. Really,
just beep it. Yeah, right. So in Minneapolis, and he's like, I am like living in the belly of the beast. If they knew my Christian beliefs, I would probably be fired, and it would be for another reason. But I know that that would happen, right? I've gotten lots of messages from executives around the country who said, I love what you're doing, but I can't like what you're doing, if you know what I mean, right? And so you've got lots of these conservatives keeping their head down. At the same time, I start getting messages from people, a guy in Florida in particular, who works for the Florida government. He said, hey, do you have a list of non-woke businesses? Because I want to not only work for them, but I want to invest with them and I want to shop with them. Right. I want to spend my money, my time and my effort on businesses that don't hate my worldview. Right. Because how many of us have a mutual fund with Facebook and Google in it? Probably all of us. Mm. Right. And that means they're using your money to hate your worldview. Cool. Right?
Right.
And so I do think that there's this moment that we're all kind of waking up and be like, okay, well, how do we make sure that we're putting our time, our effort, and
like
our money?
Becoming woke, you wake, like
woke, oh, not waking, that kind of, yeah, okay. Yeah, woking up, new term. So I think you're seeing that, and I think you're seeing that in Moscow. So I've talked to a number of individuals who are tired of having their money parked in a mutual fund, and they say, "Hey, are there businesses in my community in Moscow that I can invest in with the business that I care about and with people that I care about rather than just parking money in the markets for them to use it for nefarious things, right? So I also think that that's a growing opportunity. We've got people who are hardworking, you know, they talked about as hardworking as a Huguenot. When you have hardworking people, they're going to make money and they're going to want to do things to glorify God with that money, right? And so I think we're going to see more and more businesses growing in Moscow who are hiring people because there's more capital go around. And when you have free access to capital and you have exchange of labor, you have a functioning, thriving economy. So I'm bullish on Moscow.
So speaking of that, what are the biggest hurdles? I imagine housing. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned that you're also in real estate development. Tell us about it, I guess, which came first, right? You were already working on Eddington.
Yeah.
Well before Red Balloon.
Yep.
But is this kind of part of the same trajectory in terms of solving this issue for Moscow?
It is. So Eddington's the name of the housing development, and it's named after a battle where Alfred the Great beat back the barbarian hordes to save Christian England. So that's where the name comes from.
And the sword.
And the sword and the whole thing. Yeah, yeah. It's a white horse and king, knight, whatever. So I started that actually because I tried to hire someone at my previous employer and they're like, well, I can't afford to move to Moscow with my extravagant salary. And like, that is ridiculous. And he had other money management issues, beyond that. But I thought we really need more housing. And I don't like government affordable housing, but I do like market driven affordable housing. And so I thought if I can buy enough land at scale and I can buy it at a good price, and I can be extremely creative and ambitious in the way that I do the development, then I can get the prices down, hopefully. The other thing we're trying to accomplish with Eddington is there's an alley system behind all the houses so that you actually have front doors be the front door. And what's interesting about that is it dramatically decreases traffic on the road and helps you build community because all the local traffic is going to be going to the alley system, right? That's where the garages and the trash and all that stuff are in the alleys. And so the road is a spot where you actually have community. It's only where visitors are primarily coming to park and come to your front door rather than to your garage. And they hope they can find their front door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so funny.
Yeah.
We actually live out in the country, but our little old farmhouse didn't have a sidewalk up to the front door.
Yeah.
And we put in a sidewalk.
Right.
And one of our neighbors, we moved there relatively recently, had been neighbors with these people for like 30 years. And they were like, we've never been to the front door.
No, they always went to the back
right.
door.
Right.
But so, we still deal with that with people who will frequently drive up all the way behind the shop where the garage doors are.
Yep. You know,
I think it's just such a built-in habit.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, so Eddington has is the whole thesis around, and you can get somewhat smaller lots because they are smaller lots when you have the land be more useful because you can access it from both sides, right? And so some of those things, even those alleys cost more to develop and pave and all the things that are associated with that, you can still keep the cost down because you can have tighter lots because you have access from both sides. Right.
Yeah.
And so and I think this is a good example of Moscow right now. We put out 101 lots for phase one. And I let people know that they could reserve them with a $10,000 non-refundable deposit. And we sold 85 of them in the first 2 days, which is encouraging.
Without word of mouth.
Word of mouth, yeah. Correct. I mean, you know, I've got a little bit of a website, but word of mouth for the most part. And honestly, like, we're just moving dirt now. Although we've moved almost 400,000 cubic yards of dirt so far, because when you build in the Palouse, it's hilly. Mm-hmm. And so you've got to make it a little bit flatter for people to be able to build houses on. So, but it's exciting. We're making headway. And so in the, call it late spring, early summer, all those lots will be shovel ready with fiber to every house, an alley system in the back, and really access to what I think are going to be some great lots on a growing part of town right next to the new SEL development, right next to where the ice skating rink's going to go, and right across the street from the U of I Arboretum. So should be a really pretty part of town.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And when would phase two start?
We're probably going to move. I'm actually going to invest $1.2 million into dirt moving for phase two so that we can basically turn the switch on that, because it's more efficient when all that huge equipment's out. We have these 30-ton trucks out there, and there's six of them going all day long every day, which that's is awesome. Really cool to watch. Mm-hmm. So if you're in Moscow, go over to the bottom of the U of I Arboretum and look at the large equipment over there. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, you don't have to be a kid to enjoy watching heavy equipment.
No, it's super fun.
It's the best. So, like a giant sandbox out there.
Right. And because I'm doing the development, I've gotten to drive some of the equipment.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah, baby. So phase two would start as soon as phase one is sold out, probably. Okay. So we might just sashay right into phase two pretty quickly. Now, I'm just developing lots. There's still going to be houses to be built. But we've got a couple of investors who are coming in and buying three or four different lots. And they're looking to build houses. And when you have lots on the market, even if they're a little bit smaller, under $100,000, it really allows for opportunities for market-driven affordable housing that's still hopefully really nice, right? You got the front door in the front. We have some CC&Rs were like, look, we want 9-foot ceilings, things like granite countertops. So even if it's a 1500 square foot house, it's one that I would like to live in if I needed to move there. So,
yeah, that's great. Well, that seems to be one of the hurdles, right, of Moscow growing, that economic growth is just housing for people, mm-hmm. for workers.
100%.
Has there been anything else you've seen infrastructure wise or, you know, anything else that you see that, hey, if Moscow could really work on tackling these issues, we could attract more businesses. We could see kind of the economic growth that we want to see.
I've had a number of people ask me, hey, do you have an acre to five of commercial property right now? And we're going to have a couple acres of commercial property at Eddington, kind of on the edge, so it's not right in the middle of the housing development. But that has been in pretty high demand, where that's one of the limiters for businesses being able to move here. But I've had a conversation with a number of businesses over the last couple of years that are going to look on moving here. Businesses looking to start, honestly, building 100 houses in Moscow right now, that's an uphill battle. Mm-hmm. So if you're a contractor out there, or if you're someone who understands the trades and is willing to be ambitious and show up when you say you're going to show up, do it for the price you say you are going to do it for, you will do really well. There is a huge demand for housing development and building here in the community. So I think it's
people who will actually dot work. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Dot work. Yeah. Exactly. Right. Yeah. Not dot com. Mm-hmm. Communists.
Nice.
Yeah. For the businesses moving here, is it a hurdle for Moscow's location? Because we're not on a easy access road. We're not on a port.
Yeah. Yes and no. I mean, I talked to a couple of manufacturing based businesses and they said, look, we got 95 right down to Lewiston. That grade is an issue because if you have something heavy takes a lot of fuel to get something up that grade, right? Mm-hmm. But you are on a reasonably major highway. You know, the airport just did a $90 million expansion here in Moscow. And then I was on the committee for the airport terminal to focus on the next terminal for the airport. And we have something like $45 million ready to go to build the next terminal. So by it'll be a little bit, you know, 2023 sometime. You're going to have a larger terminal. You're going to have access to 737s being able to land in here, hopefully get flights from various places. So I see continued expansion. Yes, we're not on the I-5 corridor, but you also then you don't have to go to, through California to get to Texas, which is also really nice.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, what and in terms of the demand of what you've been seeing with Red Balloon, are you seeing more employers looking, you know, wanting to sign up and that kind of thing, or more people? You mentioned some people also, they're like, man, I need to find a job where I'm not going to have to get the vaccine
or whatever. Big time.
Are you seeing more on one side or the other? Or is it kind of even?
Yeah, I'd like to see more employers on there, honestly. We are now at almost 250,000 people have been on Red Balloon in 2.5 months.
Wow.
Looking for freedom, right? For freedom for their work, freedom where they're going to go. I actually talked to I'll mention a competitor briefly, but Conservative Move is a huge company based in Texas, and all they do is help people facilitate moving them from blue states to red states. And they have 400 agents.
Oh.
And they help them sell their house in New York and buy one in Tennessee. And it's a concierge service for conservatives who are sick of it.
Interesting.
So
based out of Texas?
Based out of Texas. Conservative Move, check them out. Mm-hmm. Good folks. But they are really just focused on, and in fact, I have an email I'm going to send to you because they already started sending me, hey, we're thinking about Moscow. Do you know anyone to work with? I'll say yes.
Nice.
So, no, it's interesting. So we've had 250,000 people. We've had over 600 employers now who have, and basically what we do on the employers is we make them sign a pledge that they'll actually treat their employees like adults and let them make decisions for themselves, including vaccination or things like what they want for a pronoun or all of, like, seriously. And it is funny because this kind of freedom, like freedom in the workforce, is a liberal message from 10 years ago, right? Think about it. Like 10 years ago, it's like, can't you just let people be themselves, right? But once the liberals used the conservative virtue of freedom to get the power position, they took it away real fast, right? And so I'm just trying to get back to, okay, what if we just left people alone to make their own decisions about them, their lives and what they want to do, right? So 250,000 people, several hundred employers, we need more, right? We've only got something like 450 job postings up there right now. I'd love that to be tens of thousands. We also have something called Anonymous Balloon. So if you're an employer who feels like I would love access to freedom workers who are just going to focus on work, and I'm willing to sign the pledge, but I'm not in a position where I can put my logo out there. We can do anonymous balloons. And actually we've had, I've been shocked because, our first anonymous balloon was for a warehouse job in Jacksonville, Tennessee. And I was like, yeah, they're never going to fill that. They filled it in 2 days.
Wow.
For $15 an hour job because people want freedom. It is shocking. I put out, one of our employers in town put out 3 job postings and in the last month has had 90 applications. And he's like, you've got to turn them off. My inbox is blowing up and I'm sick of it. So, if you are an employer who's willing to stand for freedom, there are a lot of people out there right now who really are willing to take a pay cut so that they can work for someone who actually will respect their rights.
Well, which makes me think that one of the holes then would be more employers, at least in Moscow.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
So if there's 100%. 90 people trying to apply for a job here at one of a local employer, there's all these
huge
people who are wanting to have that kind of work.
100% agree.
We just need some commercial space.
Yep.
And room for those companies to grow here.
But I mean, you know, it's just,
but you did that, right? I mean, you came from the Bay Area originally.
I did. Yep.
And was able to grow a business here in Moscow, Idaho.
And I have people tell me constantly, there's no way you can grow a business in Moscow. Like it's just not possible. You've got to be where the capital is and where all the cool kids are. And then I've had various investors come in over the years and be like, well, someday we need to move you to a real city. Like, or I can get access to the best workers who want to just work and be creative and change the world, and have a great quality of life where we all go home for lunch and dinner and not live in a real city. Yeah. So I'll take the not real city.
It's the best place to live.
It is the best place to live.
Okay, but then on the flip side, if it's continuing to grow, how do you maintain the stuff you love about it while you're encouraging tons and tons of commercial and all that to happen?
I can be a pessimist, but I will say, like, that's one of my fears. It's like, yeah, you could see Moscow growing, doubling in size. Is it still going to be?
Which isn't
that, like, how do you manage?
Still, yeah.
Did you have any conversations, whether it was with the city or just personally when you guys were doing Eddington?
Yeah.
About how do we make this growth something that is attractive, something that doesn't just turn us into suburbia?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think that's, you know, the reason we picked that spot is it's right across the street from the Arboretum, which is going to give you, you know, and we're going to have a bunch of green space and walking paths, and there's going to be a city park out there. And so I think, you know, you need to be intelligent about growth. You need to not hate growth, right? Mm-hmm. I think that the city needs to be creative in, you know, traffic patterns, because at some point, like, you know, it's going to take us a full 7 minutes instead of 5 minutes to get across town.
Everyone's just going to be really late.
Yeah. Everyone's going to be 2 minutes late to everything. It's just going to be terrible until they've readjusted. But I mean, you know, it's the same thing, you know, when your kids are growing up. In one sense, they're so cute when they're small and you love them like that. But if they never grew up, that'd be a bummer. Mm-hmm. So it's fun to see them change and grow. And I'd say that's the same thing with our city, because there are advantages that come with a larger town. There are better restaurants. There are services and amenities and fun things that can only be sustained with a larger economy, right? And whether it's retail, whether it's restaurants, those things come along with a larger town. So there's always a downside, but there are some upsides.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Awesome. Thanks, Andrew.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Great to see you guys.
Thanks for joining us. Like, share, subscribe. We'll see you next week.